Last minute of play in visit time. Any Leaf fans here this morning besides Ken? Any Leaf fans? Yeah, beat again, yeah. By a last place team. Hallelujah. Yep, that's, I guess the sins are pretty biblical, eh? That's pretty bad. Come on in, guys, let's go. I haven't preached on the second coming in 20 years. I want you to get all this, boy. Let's go. Miriam, Bailey, Bruce and Bob in the kitchen. I see you hiding. Bruce, Bob, and Beth. We got the triple B's in the kitchen. That's really good, Hal. I was thinking the same thing. I was. I didn't do it, but, you know. Bob, Beth, and Bruce. They think they can hide from me, but I could see them there. Bob, Beth, and Bruce. Bob, Beth, and Bruce. Bob, Beth, and Bruce. They're not even paying attention to me. They're what? What do you mean offering? You don't do offering in between the worship and the service here. That's not part of Foursquare tradition. Come on. Did you get them, Chris? Did you go for it? Yeah, I know. Tell them to bring it out here. We're not going to steal their passwords. We're not going to steal your passwords. Just come on out. Hallelujah. Okay, Beth is still in there. Make sure, listen. Beth Bevan is still in there. Make sure that y'all ask her how her first week at OIM went, okay? And tell her how much you were praying for her, if you were. If you weren't, don't lie, okay? That's just, yeah. Hallelujah. I'm pumped about this. You know, and that scares me, because when I'm pumped about a message, often the flesh can get in the way, okay? And so I need, let's pray, okay? Father, this is important stuff, Lord, and thank you that you gave it to me. I'm really excited about it, but Lord, like we pray so often, Lord, we don't need to hear from a hyped up pastor. God, we need to hear from you. And all your bride has today is this hyped up pastor. So you got to go past, Lord, my faults and the some of the dumb things I say, and Lord, I know, God, that you always use imperfect people, because all the perfect ones are dead, and Lord, so God, please be lifted up, Lord. This is important stuff, God, and we want to rightly handle the word of truth, like your word says this morning, in the name of Jesus, amen. When was the last time somebody here heard a message on the coming of Jesus, second coming? Give me some, what? Huh? It's been a while? Anybody in the last month? Not counting online, okay? Not counting on, has anybody heard a message on the second coming in the last 6 months, not counting online? A year. Okay. I have not preached on the second coming in 20 years. Am I afraid of it? No. Do I think it's important? Yes. And I'm going to get to why I haven't, okay? And it will become evident as we get into this. But I'm going to give you a bit of background, okay? This guy right here is David Lewis. Anybody ever heard of David Lewis? David Lewis was, and I tried to find a slide online, I couldn't find one. He was the resident end time prophecy expert on the PTL club. He was on once a week for a half an hour with Jim and Tammy Baker, okay? David Lewis was also a very good friend of my father, a good friend of mine as well. I went to Israel with him. I've been in his home. And my dad would have him every year, and I got to know David Lewis. And when I was a teenager, he had a profound impression on me. Here he is with Ramona and Yitzhak Samir. There he is with Menachem Begin. He actually got my dad and him into a private audience with Menachem Begin. I still have the tape of the interview. Here he is at the Wailing Wall. I think he went to Israel about 125 times. And when he would go in Israel, everybody knew him there. He's very skinny there. He's lost a lot of weight. When I went with him, I think he weighed about 400 pounds. He was always really huge, okay, big guy. Now, here he is with John Hagee. Now, this is kind of cool because he's presenting John Hagee with a medal which says Friend of Israel. He gave me one of those too, okay? I wanted to bring it here this morning, but I couldn't find it. Heather was going through the archives and everything, and he was always giving out these medals. If he liked you, you know, didn't because we did anything special, he just gave you a medal, okay? He was into that kind of stuff. Little bit of a strange guy, okay? like just about every prophecy teacher, they're all a little bit bent, okay? And I'm saying this with affection because this guy was a friend of mine, okay? So he had a profound impact on me and as a teenager, and I was up to my eyeballs in Bible prophecy. I read every author. You could call me an expert in Bible prophecy. I put seminars together before there was PowerPoint. I would take my own photos with a 35 millimeter and, I was looking for the tapes that I've got somewhere in my archives. I did a series of messages called the Mind Invaders. Okay. The Mind Invaders. There was Rock and Roll on Trial. There was the Extraterrestrial Conspiracy. There was Childhood's End. There was, Evolution, Factor Farce. There was, I can't remember the other ones, but these were all slide things about contemporary issues that, like, kids that were bored with church, they would hear me talking about Led Zeppelin, and they go, wow, you know, they thought that was really cool, okay? And it opened up doors for me that were insane. Like, I could do a whole week's worth of messages, these slide presentations. I preached camps and conferences, and I wrote articles, and so I was knee-deep in this stuff. To the point where one of the highest profile prophecy conferences in North America, David Lewis, would host one. He had me come down and speak one year. I think he felt sorry for me because my dad had died. So let's bring John here. He'll feel a little bit better, okay? Heather went with me. It kind of scared me when I was down there. Because I was with these people that, like, their whole life is Bible prophecy. And they look wild-eyed. They're kind of like if you ever talk with the people that knock on your door on Saturday morning because they want to convert you to their wacko religion, okay? If you get talking to them, they kind of look past you while they're talking to you, you know? And that's what these people were like. They were like, oh, you know, like, it was kind of weird, okay? Now, just to give you a quick overview, for those of you that have never even thought about Bible prophecy or you're new to Christ, I'm going to rip through about 3 or 4 minutes of what typical the belief systems that are out there that are, most of them are based on the Bible, okay? The three main views of the second coming of Christ can be divided into amillennialism, postmillennialism, and premillennialism, okay? Millennialism is not the worship of people who've been born in the 90s. That's not what we're talking about, okay? Amillennialism. Amillennialism believes that when Jesus returns, they all believe in the second coming of Christ. When Jesus returns, we will be immediately ushered into the new heaven and a new earth. They believe that Revelation should be interpreted allegorically, okay? That's not to be taken literally, okay? Now, before you pass this off, I said, well, what about all that stuff in the Bible? All of the great church fathers that we respect, John and Charles Wesley, George Whitefield, Charles Finney, St. Francis of Assisi, Thomas Aquinas, Martin Luther, John Huss, John Wycliffe, Alfred Zwingli, all these great men of faith, and every one of them had a minimum master's degree as far as theological studies, they were all amillennialists. Every one of them, okay? And they knew the Bible and wrote about the Bible way more than probably any other theologian in the 20th century. So it's since the 20th century. So you can't just pass that off. There's strong biblical evidence when you start weighing everything. Then there's postmillennialism. Postmillennialism believes that we are going to go into a period of 7 years of we're going to go into a period where the world is going to get so good and they're going to turn to Jesus that we are going to usher in the kingdom of heaven. Okay, and they believe profoundly that, you know, thy will on heaven as it is on earth, and the world is going to be wonderful for 1,000 years, and then there's going to be one final battle at the end, and God will judge the wicked and the dead and the devil, and then we will enter the new heaven and the new earth. That's postmillennialism. Premillennialism. Premillennialism is, that's the belief system of most evangelical Christians, okay? Your Billy Grahams, your Rick Warrens, your Andy Stanleys, your Joel Osteens, your big name preachers, the good ones and the ones you don't like, okay? It basically believes that Jesus is going to come, and it's divided into three camps. Post-trib, mid-trib, and pre-trib. It believes that Jesus is going to come before a millennial reign. That means he's going to come, and he's after that period, he's going to set up his reign on earth for 1,000 years. And it's going to be like wonderful and almost like heaven on earth, but not quite. And it's divided into these three camps. Post-trib believes there's a 7-year period of horrible persecution and death and martyrdom like the world has never seen, with plagues that would make Moses' plagues look like a Sunday school picnic, okay? And Jesus comes at the end of that 7-year period. Mid-tribulation believes in that 7-year period, but Jesus will come in the middle of it, 3.5 years in, where there's going to be lots of death and suffering and everything the first 3 years, but it's going to get even worse in the second 3 years. Pre-trib is what the PAOC kind of leans to, Foursquare leans to, most Baptist churches. That's the most predominant in the premillennialist camp, that Jesus comes, all hell breaks loose, and we return with him. The coming of Christ with mid and with pre-trib is like a two-faced thing. The rapture, we disappear, we go to be with the Lord, then we come back, and there's a battle, and it's. Listen, I know people, just these topics here, they've got probably 50 messages just on these topics. That's how deep people go into this whole prophecy thing. So that's a real quick overview for people that don't have a clue. Now, on this topic, he probably got a real good clue, but not on this topic. The scriptures where you're going to find a lot of end time prophecy, okay? First of all, Revelation is nothing but a good part of Daniel. There's smatterings in Isaiah and Psalms and Thessalonians and the Gospels. There's little hints where, like Matthew 24:25, it's called the Olivet Discourse because Jesus preached that sermon on the Mount of Olives. And most of that sermon is him talking about what it's going to be just prior to his coming, okay? So the Bible is filled with allusions and hints and sermons and information concerning the second coming of Christ. Now, that's all good. That's all biblical. There's nothing wrong with it. I know people that are they're better men and women of God than I am that fall into all three or four of those camps there. Okay? They just have a different interpretation of the Bible. But the bottom line is they love Jesus, okay? And they're saved by the blood of Christ. And some of them are actually pretty productive for the kingdom of God as well, in my opinion. Now, here's another side of the whole Bible prophecy thing. Bible prophecy has turned into a multi-billion dollar industry, okay? The Left Behind novels, okay, they've grossed at least about $1 billion, maybe $1.5 billion now. There's two major movies that have been made by it. And I joke, but it's true. Sometimes you think I'm being cynical, but it's true. These guys here, like Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins, not just them, I don't want to fault them, and David Lewis and Hal Lindsey, who wrote the great Late Great Planet Earth, and some of these high-profile prophecy teachers, they can, and I'm not joking, they can literally tell you more about the second coming of Christ than Jesus can. Okay? I'm not kidding. Okay? That's how well-versed in all the possibilities and all the interpretations of the scriptures that these guys are in, and that these guys could do. And there was a time in my, I'll get to why I haven't preached in about it in about 20 years. Today, the fervor for Bible prophecy and finding out mysteries is higher than it's ever been. I kind of walked out of that world for 20 years. And if you're online, oh my goodness, you should see the stuff that's on YouTube. I mean, it is absolutely fun. It's great. They got the Nephilim, okay? They got, this is a slide from Steve Quayle on one of his books, and there's more than just his source. There have been actual giants that are 13, 14 feet tall that people have, this was one that they killed in Afghanistan in 2015. That's a painting because all of the photos are classified and the government supposedly puts a kibosh on it. Now you can get into conspiracy theories till the cows come home on this, okay? But I've watched some of this stuff. I'm not buying a lot of it, but all I'm saying is the market for this is through the roof. People love this stuff. They eat it up. Now, here's a good one, okay? Like, prophecy addicts, they just eat this stuff up. They're always looking for the latest thing. Now, I wanna have some fun with you because I wanna get to, something I found that was pretty interesting. First of all, let's look at the Bible. Okay, this is the prophecy addicts. I'm going to give you two scriptures here that they just are obsessed over. They just love this stuff. They eat it up. Now remember, it's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. Okay. It also, this is the beast, Antichrist, whatever. It also forced people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hands and on their foreheads. so that they could not buy or sell unless they had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let the person who has insight calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. The number is 666. I have seen at least 10 instances of people that take their worst enemy in politics and they figure out a number system to total up the letters in their name to 666. I've seen it for Henry Kissinger. I've seen it for Barack Obama. I've seen it for Pierre Elliott Trudeau. I've seen it, like, they come up with these elaborate systems, okay? Everybody's obsessed over this crazy stuff. Now, here's the other side. I do have a bit of a penchant for conspiracy theories. They're fun. I have a lot of fun with them. And a couple nights ago on YouTube, I was listening to this guy who says he's a time traveler, okay? This is... These guys are so good. They're so believable. It's fun. And this guy supposedly came from 2030, okay? And he said, well, in 2030, we don't have any more money, and everybody's hooked up to the internet. They put, we have microchips in our brains, and we have instant access to the internet, okay? And the internet has evolved to the thing where you have instant access, and it actually enhances their hormones that are involved that cause your brains to process thoughts much quicker. People that don't have this chip in their brain, it's like they're outcasts of society. But it's much quicker with information. Everybody, and money, we don't have money. We got another chip that's in our right hand, okay? And that does all money transactions. You know it's going there, okay? I mean, I don't see why it hasn't already happened. In fact, they've got the technology. They use it with the U.S. military, okay? They can put a little chip that's the size of a grain of rice in their neck. So they can tell when the people are still alive, has all the biometric reading in them. They can read that. That technology's there now. And they have the technology right now that you don't need a credit card. You swipe your hand, okay? It's going to that. How many people have lost a credit card? You can't steal identity when that kind of stuff happened. You can see it's going there, okay? I'm not saying it's sin. I mean, if we get that, it's the mark of the beast. This has something to do with worship here, okay? It may be the same thing. I don't know. All I'm saying is that this stuff is, people love this stuff, okay? Here's another fun one. Oh, you're going to love this, okay? And please, I don't mean to make a mockery of people that are obsessed by this, because this is Bible. Okay? I'm gonna get to the reason why you don't hear me talk about it that much. Okay? Luke 21:25. This is Jesus talking. Anything Jesus says, you gotta take seriously. Even if people have taken what he said and gone to the moon and been obsessed over it, okay, you still have to take it seriously. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars on the earth. Nations will be in anguish, perplexity at the roaring and the tossing of the sea. Most theologians, since the time of Christ, have believed that that is not talking about tsunamis. Okay? Because you have heard the term, and it goes back thousands of years, even before the Bible. You've heard the term the sea of humanity, okay? The sea in the Bible, and even in other holy books, is always illustrative of humanity, the sea of humanity. So when it says the roaring and the tossing of the sea, that's kind of like people stressed out, okay? People will faint, because here, one scripture is the best interpreter of another scripture, and here you have one scripture that kind of leads on that same theme. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Now remember that one, the roaring and tossing of the sea, okay? Because, I'm going to go back to Revelation 13, earlier in the chapter, what I showed you, and it says this, okay? The dragon stood on the shore of the sea, and I saw a beast coming out of the sea, okay? Now, you know what the latest is on this? I think it's so cool, it's so neat, okay? There's all sorts of articles and experts and artificial intelligence experts that are saying Elon Musk, the guy who founded Tesla, I mean, some of the most high-profile scientific thingers, they're all saying that they believe that the internet is going to take on sentience, okay? They believe that one day there's so much connections that it's going to start manifesting sentience. Now, they're already thinking that way. They're already telling people it's going to happen. What if? I'm not saying this is Bible. I'm just having fun with you a little bit. This would be, because people are so into their technology, they literally worship their phones. They'd rather, bang into a post than, take their face off their phones. Okay? You know that's like that. Okay? We have people being killed on our highways because they can't get their face out of their phones. Okay? Like they're nuts. It's like if that isn't worshipful devotion, I don't know what is. Okay? You talk about those scriptures. Love not the world, neither the things in the world. If anybody loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. Everything the world has and all it represents, constant, okay? You know people that would love to have that chip in their brain so they'd be wired in all the time, okay? Now, let's get to this here. And this is a very popular theme. This is not the extremist wackos here. These are some of the most intelligent, industrial and scientific minds of our time. They really believe that the internet is going to take on sentience. Let's say that's impossible. Let's say it could never happen. I want you to know that the devil can do miracles. And I want you to know, if you get into the realm of quantum mechanics and particle accelerators and the way these guys talk about quantum universes, okay, there's no difference between physics and magic. There's no difference, because they can't even explain it to you. They say, well, you could be in one place at the same time. How is that? It's impossible. And they try to describe it with the laws of physics, and they've never been able to do it, but they believe it's possible because they worship science more than they worship God. What does Romans 1 say? Because they didn't think it profitable to believe in God, God turned them over to a depraved mind. To do things and think things that they shouldn't. Okay? So you got even in a scientific world that has gotten so scientific, it's gone past the actual physical that you could prove with experiment, and the theoretical is as believed as the stuff that they can actually prove. So you can now see, okay? What about this beast that rises, that the dragon comes out? It comes out of the sea. What's the sea? I don't know. It could be the internet, because nothing represents human thought and interaction and intelligence like the internet. Okay? Maybe something comes out. The whole Terminator movie was all about that. Okay? Skynet takes on life. Okay? And it starts building robots to defend its territory. Okay? John, you're kind of whacked out. Yeah, that's right. But you tell me what that means. That's in the Bible. Okay? Don't think, you see, a demon is not something that runs around with red underwear and a pitchfork. A demon will take on its primary purpose is to deceive. I mean, we're talking modern day people that worship their cell phones and worship their computers. I mean, this is perfect for the devil. Of course he would appear in a form that everybody goes, oh, that's wonderful. Okay? Of course he would. That's a little fun for the whole second coming thing. John, you're going to preach like this more often. Yeah. Okay, people love this stuff, you know. Now, the last time I preached on this 20 years ago. Why? I'll tell you why now, okay? John 13, it's all the word of God, okay? Speculate all you want. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have loved one another. That's priority. That's my priority, my higher priority than anything. And I know too many people that are experts in prophecy and they don't even know their neighbor's name. Okay? They can explain to you every mystery and the hottest stuff of knowledge of what everybody interprets. And as far as being productive for the kingdom of God, my goodness. And I noticed over the years that all these prophecy experts, they were having a negligible effect on evil. They were having a negligible effect on injustice. Very few people coming to Christ, their books got more fun. More intelligent. Wow, never thought of that. And you have the occasional person, hey, I was saved watching Jack Van Impe. You know Jack Van Impe, the guy with the hairspray, okay? Jack Van Impe came and preached in our city in Windsor when I was 8 years old. I had nightmares for the next 5 years. Please, sometimes speakers say this to hype you and make you laugh. I am not kidding, okay? That guy scared me to death. That and the Chick Tracks. Remember the Chick Track? Oh my goodness, okay? I mean, I was every night when my parents weren't home, if they were home late, man, the rapture would take a place. One day, my brother and I actually broke into the house and broke the window because we thought we'd miss the rapture. Okay? It was crazy. Okay? That's the way a lot of us were raised, you know? And our pastors would scare us to death, you know? What if you're in the movie theater watching something you shouldn't watch? And all of a sudden the trump of the Lord sounds, and there you are in the movie theater consuming stuff you shouldn't be consuming, you know? And we'd all be scared to death. I kind of turned that around because when I was a youth pastor and a young adults pastor, you know, kids, all they think about is sex. Eh? So you get their attention like this. Most of them, okay, some of them are normal. You get their attention like this. I know what you guys are thinking. Like none of them wanted Jesus to come because they all want to get married before Jesus comes, you know. And so I used to joke when Heather and I were engaged. You know what's going to happen? We're going to get married. We're going to go to the hotel for the wedding night. I'm going to put the key in the hotel room and da 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 all the way up. Okay. Okay. You can see. I'm just saying that because you can see how goofy this can get. Okay. It can get really, really goofy. Now. Why did I not talk about this? Okay, First of all, I think there's enough people talking about it. And I don't see the kingdom of God. I don't see an explosion of people coming to Christ in repentance. I don't see an infilling and dwelling of the Holy Spirit. I don't see poor people and the destitute being ministered to. because of this influence on Christianity. I reserve the right to be wrong on that. If you guys, please, I'm just telling you why I haven't touched it. Let me give you more verses. Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. What's his teaching? Well, that's prophecy. Holding to your teaching is not being an expert in what he teaches. Holding to his teaching is obeying the Beatitudes. Okay? The entire gospel is wrapped up in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Okay? Blessed are the poor in spirit. You know, they'll be called the sons of God. Blessed are the pure in heart. They're going to see God. Okay? Hold to his teaching. The ones that you know you can't believe unless you have the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Hold to his those are his real disciples. And then here's another one. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. A disciple is somebody that bears fruit. Eternal fruit. Okay? The fruits of the Spirit. Okay? But the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of labor that has produced eternal things, like people coming to Christ, like forgiveness taking place, like being a peacemaker, like fulfilling everything that's in the Beatitudes. Okay? Now, here's the one that we talk about all the time. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question: Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Now look at this. All the law and the prophets hang on these two. What prophets prophesy? Prophecy, okay? Prophecy. All that teaching hangs on, in fact, if you don't have this down, this stuff is useless. Okay? That's why the priority has got to be on this stuff. I'm not knocking this stuff, but if it gets more obsession on your life than being what Christ has caused you to do, wants you to do, you're out of whack. You're out of balance. Okay? And man, I met too many people like that, and I can't talk to them like this because they would hit me. They get angry. Okay? They got, because I've just insulted their God. Their God isn't Jesus. Their God is their knowledge. And their head knowledge of all this prophetic stuff that you want to figure it out. Now, here's the real punchline, okay? This is the real reason I haven't touched it in 20 years. And you've heard me repeat this. Some of you know what's coming. This is Acts 1, 6, 8. Then they gathered around him and asked, he's about to go up to heaven. Famous last words, okay? If you want to drive home a point and you have an opportunity to, you do it just before you die. Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? All those prophecies, you know, because we know them. We know the Old Testament. We listened to you when you were quoting in Matthew 24, 25. You said, you know, two will be at the mill, one will be taken, the other left, you know. Flee to the mountains, you know, and all this other stuff, okay? He said to them, here it is. It's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his authority. And I have heard maybe 200 to 500 more than that, 200 maybe to 1,000 sermons on prophecy. I have never heard them preach that verse on it. Never. And that's the most powerful prophetic allusion that Jesus makes in the Bible. They all teach, well, no man knows the hour or the day. So, you know, that makes them feel good when they point fingers at people who are setting dates. They all know that one, but they never preach this one. It's not for you to know. Quit trying to figure it out. There are way, way, way more important things than this. Sure, it's the Bible, okay? It's not for you to know. But, and he doesn't finish, the sentence is not closed there. He continues on. The period, that was added about 700 or 800 years after this was written. There's no period in the original, okay? It's not for you to know. But, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and all the ends of the earth. In other words, here's your priority. You get empowered with me, and you go do what I've called you to do. And you know what? He's not a killjoy, because I'm telling you right now. Verse 8 is 10 times more fun than 6 or 7. Okay? It really is. When you see the power of God flowing through you, and you know how weak you are, and you know how messed up you are, and you know how much you rely on the Holy Spirit, when you see him transform lives, just because you were loving, just because you were kind, just because you held your tongue, just because you said something, that's a rush, boy, that will blow your mind better than any drug that's out there. Okay? It's amazing. He's trying to release even more power and joy through us. That he wants us to have that priority. Okay? And it's, you know, you don't have a lot of people obsessed with Bible prophecy outside of North America. It's only people with too much money and too much time on their hands, you know? Their churches already have 20,000, 30,000 people. I mean, even the hookers are saved. I mean, everybody's been born again 20 times over. And they refuse to get out of town and preach the word where they're called to go. Okay? And particularly in the southern United States, you're talking the most over-evangelized territory in the world. And if you keep taking in, you become like the Dead Sea. You know? Nothing lives there. And what does live there is kind of mutant. Yeah? It's weird. How does that thing even survive here? You know? Lives on salt. You know? We weren't designed for that. We're designed to be obedient to Him. To be obedient to Him. Okay? Got some more. Look, I love this slide here. It's not for you to know. Isn't that a good slide? He's ascending up to heaven. They're asking him. And he's doing it. He looks like he's Italian, you know? It's not for you to know. You know, like, quit asking. You know? Stop it. It's not for you to know. Now, go and tarry until you're empowered and then get to work. Okay? Do you know what? If you know all the knowledge in the world of how everything's supposed to turn out, that's not going to hasten His coming at all. It's going to happen whether you like it or not. So let's do what we've been called to do, what He's told us to do. But there's a problem. 1 Corinthians talks about this. Knowledge puffs up. When you get smart, people go, whoa, that guy's smart. And you got a lot of people who think they're glorifying God. It's nothing but ego trips. It's exactly Psalm 127:1. Except the Lord builds a house, the builders labor in vain, in pride, in vanity, in vain. It's an ego trip. Okay? We're called to love. We're called to do it the right way, empowered by the Spirit. And if you find it easy doing the will of God, you're probably empowered by the Holy Spirit. If you find it hard, there's help available. He will empower you. You know? 1 Corinthians, here it is. It's explicit here. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. Every once in a while, I got to do this, okay? If I'm preaching a sermon, and while I'm preaching, I'm doing this, okay? Look at Christine's always almost ready to kill me already. Do you see how annoying that is? Do you see how that clouds up the message? Now, Julian was playing, and he was doing it right, and brings the whole thing alive. That doesn't mean that knowledge is bad. It's just that if I have that without love, shut up. Okay, that's what Christine was thinking. And rightly so. Stop. Okay? That's what this information is like when the love of God is not just present, but dominant. Dominant. If I have the gift of prophecy, there it is. And I can fathom all mysteries. And I've sold 30 books. And all knowledge, and I have faith that can move mountains, you know, like those guys who wave their hand and 100 people fall. Wow. Okay? But I do not have love. I am nothing. If I give all, listen, this is important. If I give all I possess to the poor, apparently you can do that and be a phony at the same time. Okay? If I give all I possess to the poor and give my body over to hardship, in the original it says, surrender my body to the flames. That's not Calgary. That's martyrdom, okay? That I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. I gain nothing. See the priorities? However, I got to be balanced. I got to give you the word of God. I have to give you what Jesus said. Be careful or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. For what will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth? Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. That's all I need. My Savior told me. This is how I want you to act. And I look at that and I go, whoa, God, you got to help me. Oh, of course I'll help you. Okay? That's Jesus talking. That's not Hal Lindsey. That's not David Lewis. That's not Salem Kerbin, Dwight Pentecost, John Wyndham, Jerry Jenkins, and Tim LaHaye. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. Okay? A lot more weight, eh? Be careful or your hearts will be waiting. Oh, I just read that one. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a different reference, as you can see, okay? Be careful. But crowd drug lies, and the day will close you suddenly like a trap. For it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray so that you may be able to escape what is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Now, this one I really like, okay? And doesn't depend on what I like or what you like. It's the Word of God. Paul's about to die. And here's his famous last words to Timothy. Now, there's in store for me a crown of righteousness. Here we go, man. Let's go. which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Okay? I must be getting old, okay? Because I even get in trouble when I talk like this. Man, he could come right now. God, come right now. You're the only one that could straighten up this mess. I don't like watching the news. Oh, dear God. You know, he's coming. He's coming. He's coming. I don't know when he's coming. So what? Okay, good question. Always a good question to ask at the end of mass. So what? He's telling us to have his priorities. Have his priorities, okay? What's our priorities at Christ Church? We've talked about them a lot. It never hurts to restate them. Our priorities here are the great commandment. All the law and the prophets hang on. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. We have to have a relationship with God that isn't just come to church, but we love our God. We love God with all our heart and soul and mind, and we love our neighbor as ourself. Especially the ones that don't think the way we do, because it's easy to love people that cheer for the same hockey team. Okay, that's easy. We love. That's priority. Number two is the Great Commission. Go into all the world and make disciples. Go into the world, preach the gospel. And sometimes we say if you have to use words, use words. Because we don't want to be that resounding gong or tinkling cymbal. Okay? We want to earn the right to be heard so that when the cymbals do come in, people go, wow, let's dance. Okay? Because they've been loved into the kingdom with not just words. And then the great call. If my people, not the liberals or the conservatives or the NDP, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, quit building the church in vain, okay? If they will humble themselves and seek my face, I'm going to forgive their sin, okay? And I'm going to heal their land. That's our priorities there, okay? We keep flogging them. You know why? Because we're a little dumb. We're slow, you know? And we need each other to remind us, and we need each other to help us, you know? I mean, I've never led a church where I feel more loved, okay? Like, you guys are just amazing. The kind things you say, the wonderful things that you do. And I gotta let you know, I got people in this room right here that are kicking my butt all the time. Because there's no way I can fulfill God's call in my life. There's no way you can fulfill God's call on your life without help. So we gotta know each other, okay? We gotta, you know, and hopefully, I love it when people come in here and I ask them, because, you know, they know I'm going to give them a lecture if they say, fine. How are you? I'm pretty lousy. Good, you're in the right place. You know, well, this happened. Good. This is where you're going to get prayer. This is where you're going to get love. This is where you're going to get reinforcement, you know? And those of you that feel great, well, don't get getting cocky, because if you feel great, you got a responsibility to the rest of us that are going, oh, God, help me, okay? We need you. We need you to, yay, you know? Close your eyes. Father, am I not going to preach on the second coming for another 20 years, God? I don't know. I did, you know, it's never about what I want, God. It's about what you want. Lord, when I think about your coming, oh man, I get so excited. Not because I'm holy and perfect, but because I wouldn't even be able to be excited if it wasn't for your blood, for the fact that you saved me. And my salvation is not in my performance. It's in you paying the price that I couldn't pay. God, I would never want anybody in Christ Church, Lord God, to try and serve you without the power that you've made available to us, God. Jesus. Nobody looking around. If you've prayed the prayer of inviting Christ into your life, this is not for you, okay? But if you haven't done that, you gotta get that right, okay? You gotta get that right. I'm not asking for recommittals. If you wanna recommit, listen, let's do that. You do and I, let's do that in the room here before you leave, okay? But if you've never done it before, I need to know. And I want you to raise your hand real quick and say, John, I gotta do that. You know, I know the language, I've been hanging out here for a while, but I gotta do that, okay? If that's you, you put your hand up real quick and put it right back down. I think there's only been one Sunday when I forgot to do it, or it led in another direction where I didn't do it. We always do that here, because that's priority. It starts there. Now the rest of us. We're Foursquare Church. More important, we're Christ Church. And we need the power of God. We need the infilling of the Holy Spirit, okay? And you know what? If you want to be obsessed with something, you be obsessed with the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, okay? Don't think about the tongues. Don't think about the manifestations. Don't think about the evidences. and I, this world is getting more wicked all the time, and we need the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit. And you're going to be hearing a lot more about this, because I feel myself getting obsessed about it. And I've seen so much wacky stuff happen where people try to make it happen, and you can't make it happen, and it dishonors God, and it leaves people confused and with their heads shaking, saying, what in the world's going on here? Okay? And the other side is, I've seen the Holy Spirit come into places and he does things to shake things up, and people go, holy smoke, that's crazy. And yet marriages are healed and bodies are healed and people are delivered from demons and it gets back to God. You got to have your way. This is your church. Please. We're not trying to build anything in anybody's image here. Would you pray with me for that this morning? Because I don't know how to pull that off. I've been born and raised in a Pentecostal church. I've been in this thing for 60 years, and I've yet to see something, okay? I've yet to see something in a church that I was a part of that made me go, whoa, that's God. That's, I mean, like an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I've seen miracles and little blessing drops, you know? I want to invite you to pray with me. If you don't, you don't have to pray with me. If you're not into this, just kind of go along with it for another minute or two. But if you're with me on this, please pray with me, okay? Let's close our eyes. And even if you're not praying, just close your eyes, okay? Father God, you praying with me. Father God, pour out your Holy Spirit. Lord, I want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I've had an experience in it. I've seen it. But I need your power. I need your power, Lord God, to see your words. I need your power, Lord God, to see your words coming out of my mouth and healing people and bringing life and love. I struggle with things. I'm not strong enough. I need your Holy Spirit. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for that my place in heaven is secure. But you've got more for me. I know you do. Your word says so. And I know you're pleased. If you can give me the full baptism of your Holy Spirit, please pour it into my life. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I don't know how people get it. And this is going to sound like a bias. This is not God. This is my opinion. In my experience, the most powerful infillings of the Holy Spirit, where I've seen the fruits of Christ and I've seen the Spirit of Christ on people, not the tongues and everything, okay? And I'm not knocking that, okay? The greatest, most powerful, convincing manifestations of the Holy Spirit have happened with people that it didn't happen in a public place. It happened when they were alone. And they came and told me, and they didn't have to convince me because I could tell something had happened. And I'm not, please, God, do it your way. Please do it your way. Lord, I think you bless honesty. I think you bless when we confess our faults. I think you bless when we cry out to you. You say, God, we got nothing else but you. We don't know what we're doing. We need you, God. God, I think you can hear our hearts on that. So it gives me confidence this morning, God, that maybe, just maybe, you're going to do, Lord, what you promised to do. Lord, you say if we ask for a piece of bread, you're not going to give us a stone. That's our earthly fathers. And then you say, how much more is the Father willing to give the Holy Spirit to them that would ask? God, you want to give it to us more than we want it. Jesus, we need it in this place. We need it in our lives. We need it in our jobs. We need it in our families. We need it when we're in front of our TV screens and computers. We need it in our relationships. We need it in our priorities. We need it in our bank accounts. We need it in our families. We need it everywhere, God. We need it when nobody's looking. We need it, Lord God, when they are looking. We need your Holy Spirit, Lord. Come and fill us in the name of Jesus and show us how we can tarry, how we can wait in a way that honors you and sees it happen. Amen.